Once again, good morning, church family. How appropriate the special music for this morning, No Longer Slaves. My sisters from Texas, thank you so much for this special music. We are honored, we are blessed that you join us and provide part of the blessings for this morning. How appropriate that the Holy Spirit motivate you to choose this song, because it's really very close relate to the message that the Lord has for us this morning. Now, today is going to be a very different message. Because for the message this morning, I'd like to inform you that Pastor Elsie is not going to be the one actually delivering the message. We are praying that the Holy Spirit will be the one who does. And as a special guest, Jesus Christ himself will participate with us. So is Dr. Luke. And of course, he cannot go to Damascus with taking Saul with you. So Saul will be participating with us as well. So I hope this morning, as we go through this beautiful story, we can relate to it and we can understand what it means to you and to myself to take part in the journey in this road to Damascus. Road to Damascus. I did not know until I started researching for this message that this actually became an expression in English. I don't know if you are familiar with it, but it is an expression in English. And there are people that do not even are Christians, do not even believe in the Bible, and do use these expressions as a just to convey to other people to describe what it means. A road to Damascus. So as an expression, the road to Damascus actually means a situation in which someone experiences a sudden and complete change in their opinions or also in their beliefs. And so when we say to somebody, oh, this is a road to Damascus, people understand that it or is a situation where a person made a radical change in their lives. Of course, this is influenced by the Bible story. The events that happened on the road to Damascus relate not only to the Apostle Paul, or as he was known, Saul of Tarsus, whose dramatic conversion occurred there, in that location, but they also provide a clear picture of the conversion of every true follower of Christ, just like yourself and myself. Throughout all the centuries since that day. While some have an extraordinary dramatic conversion, you know, not every conversion is alike. Some of us, we came to Christ in a very dramatic way. Some much easier way. So the road to Damascus experience is different for each one of us. The conversion of all believers follow the same pattern as happened to Paul's experience in his road to Damascus. Of course, you can find this story of Saul in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts 26, and other quotes that Paul himself wrote on his letters to the Philippians. And Galatians, he mentions part of his story. Let me ask you, do you know who Saul actually was? How much do you know about him? Who was Saul of Tarsus? Saul was born in Tarsus, as the Bible says, as Dr. Luke informs us. As Paul himself said, in the city of Cilicia. Cilicia is today the modern southern Turkey, about 400 miles northwest of Jerusalem. If you go north and west from Jerusalem, 400 miles, you find where Paul was born. It's actually 300 miles northwest of Nazareth, where Jesus was raised. Paul the Apostle, or as he, you know, he's also known Paul, original name was Saul. There is the Britannica Encyclopedia give us his estimate date of his birth. He was born on the year four before Christ. Basically, they implied that he was almost the same age as Jesus Christ. And that he died around 62, 64 years of age, 67, 8 years of age. He died in Rome, of course, we know. He and his father were both very strict, fundamental religious leaders in Judaism. They were Pharisees, or worshippers of the law of Moses, who also placed great value on religious traditions. For them, traditions was everything. Pharisees were extremely rigid in their religious belief and practice. As we read about Jesus Christ's experience, we constantly see the name Pharisees, because they were always trying to entrap him, trying to harm Jesus, and as they did to other apostles as well. Saul claims that when it came to the law, he was more zealous and knew more about the law than anyone else. And I believe him. If you read his letters, you can tell that he was extremely knowledgeable about the Bible. Of course, in his fanatical way. For the most part, in his letters, the law is the issue. And of course, he's talking mostly about the law of Moses, about the rituals. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and that's why he was named Saul. And probably in reference to King Saul, the first, which was also from the same tribe. And so Luke constantly referred to him as Saul. He was a quite famous individual, as King Saul was on his time as well. But in the road to Damascus, something changed. His viewpoint and as well his mission. Do you know that in the Bible, every time someone was changed, had a radical change, like a road to Damascus kind of experience, their names were changed. Let's, for example, remember Abraham. He became Abraham. Jacob, he became Israel. Simon, he became Peter. And of course, Saul became more known as Paul in the Christian world. So all of them, as they had this kind of experience, like I call the road to Damascus kind of experience, they had their names changed. So we continue, use the name Paul and Saul. Sometimes we say Saul, sometimes we say Paul, but the most common name that is known in the Christian world is Paul. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, in the New King James Version, it says this, then Saul, and by the way, the name Saul means the one who is asked for from God. It's like a parent would name his son, says, this is something that I asked God for. So the name Saul means asked for or prayed for. Who is also called Paul? So Luke says he also called Paul. Now I try to find out where Paul came from. And the explanation is that in Latin, Paul actually it meant is small in the sense of being humble. It means humble. How fitting. That was very appropriate for the change, because from one very arrogant Pharisee, he became a very humble, to some extent, humble servant of God. And says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look intently at him. Stephen's story. This is the first time we actually hear about Saul, this particular Saul. It's about the Stephen story. In Acts chapter 7, you find verse 58, and I'm reading from the New Century Version. It says, they took him out of the city. In other words, the Pharisees, the religious fanatics, they took Stephen out of the city and began to throw stones at him to kill him, to silence him, because he was preaching about Jesus Christ, that he is resurrected. And that they killed him, but he resurrected, and they didn't like to hear that. So they took him out and tried to, and they started to stone him. And those who told lies against Stephen left their coats with a young man named Saul. That's the first reference that we hear from him. And then Acts chapter 8, verse 1, New Living Translation, continues by saying, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So basically, he's saying he was a murderer himself, because he was part of the group that was killing Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day. With the killing of Stephen, he started a great wave of persecution that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles, they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. The people came to persecution in Jerusalem, and all the believers left, except the apostles. Acts chapter 22, verse 3, New King James Version says, I am indeed a Jew. Now, this is Saul speaking. I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. At that time, he was in Jerusalem. So he was referring to Jerusalem. But I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, a very famous rabbi. He says, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God as you all are today. He wrote himself, this was Luke reporting what he said, but now in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, the New Century Version, Paul himself wrote this, I was circumcised 8 days after my birth. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, and my parents were Hebrews. I have a strict view of the law, which is why I became a Pharisee. So Paul, by his own witness, he was a fanatic, extremist, a very strict. We know, if you read the Gospels, there are a lot of reference to the, not only to the Pharisees, but for their very strict behavior. Their view of God was a God without compassion, was a God that has no room for sinners, for no room for repentance. It was a God that was, you know, that view, that a rigid God, the God that is so anxious to punish. And that was their view. And that's why probably they act in such a vicious way, is because, you know, whatever we believe, it molds our actions. Now, let me tell a story. Let's ask Brother Luke, Dr. Luke, to help us with the story of this journey, the road to Damascus. Would you please open Luke's words in the book of Acts, chapter 9. We're going to be reading from verse 1 to 31. I'm using as the basis for our study this morning, for our message, New Century Version. It says in verse 1, in Jerusalem, Saul was still threatening the followers of the Lord by saying he would kill them. Remember that all start with the death of Stephen. It says that day, a great persecution started against the church. So he went to the high priest, and he asked him to write letters to all the synagogues in the city of Damascus. Then, if Saul found any followers of Christ's way, or any followers of the way, that's what the Christians were not called Christians yet. They were called the people of the way, the Wayneans. So he says, men or women, he would arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Now, some people imply that they will bring them to Jerusalem in order to be judged. You know how the judgment were. If you get to those judgment, if you were accused, basically you are condemned. Just like Rome did throughout the centuries with the Inquisition, these people will be brought and there will be no justice. Just like they didn't show any justice to Jesus Christ, they were about, the same thing with Stephen, they were about to kill them. They to bring them to Jerusalem and kill them. So Saul got the letters that he asked for, got all the power, got some guards, some soldiers to go with him, and got some other people that come with him. And then he started his journey towards the Damascus. Now, he believed that he was going to get to arrest somebody and to kill, to try to kill this movement that was getting, it was multiplying, was growing so fast. And there was, the church felt threatened by the, by this movement, the way. And so Paul, Saul had in his mind, we have to suppress this movement. We have to kill it. And how do we kill it? We go after the head, the leadership. And then after we arrest them, we kill them, we kill their families, we destroy them, and we take away their properties and give it to the temple, then this will be the end of this movement. Remember, if you look what Gamaliel said about when they arrested some of the apostles and beat them up, Gamaliel said to them, beat them up, but let them go. If they are of God, don't find yourselves fighting against God. So Paul knew about this wisdom of this Gamaliel, because he himself said, I was a student of him, a disciple of him. And so as he came near the city, a bright light from heaven. Now, it says he travels, and you, in a cover of your bulletin, you can see the road to Damascus going up to the hill, and then go down the hill, and then go to Syria, and then there's this beautiful valley as you get close to Damascus. And the word Damascus means a land of a lot of water. And so it is a beautiful, it's a very gorgeous valley as you go down to Damascus. And as he was going down, he already crossed all the mountains and he was going down. Now he was very close to the city. He could even probably in a distance, if it were night, he would be able to see the city. He says, as he was near the city, a bright light from heaven, like a noontime sun, suddenly flash around him, not over him, not, but around him completely. And verse 4 says, Saul fell to the ground as he heard a voice saying to him. And that's why I said that Jesus was going to be present today, because Jesus is part of this story, is the heart of this story, because he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In some translations, even say, Saul, Saul, why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to destroy me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? Interesting enough, he immediately noticed that this was not a normal thing. And immediately he associated all that light, all the brightness and the voice. This can only be God. So he says, who are you? He could have been also thinking that maybe this is an angel. Maybe this is because, you see, Paul was very well educated on the scriptures. And he knew about all the manifestation of angels and how God talked to Abraham. And so he assumed immediately, this is a heavenly thing. This is somebody that I must respect. He says, so who are you, Lord? It comes to my mind the same thing, the experience that happens to Moses when he says, and who do I say are sending me? Who are you? The voice answered, I am Yahshua, whom you are persecuting, who you are trying to destroy. Get up now and go into the city. Someone there will tell you what you must do. The people traveling with Saul stood there but say nothing. They could hear the voice, but they saw no one. Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but he could not see. By the way, he could not see for a long time. Now, spiritually, he was not being able to see a lot of things. But now, he could not see, actually, he could not see anything. So those with him took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. Here came a man trying to put his hands on God's people to try to take them by force to be killed in Jerusalem. Now he himself is being taken by hand into Damascus. You can imagine the picture, can't you? He comes with all his pride, with all his soldiers, with all his people, and with the letters and with authority. He came almost like God, tried to march into Damascus. But just before he got to Damascus, the real Lord appeared to him. And he became a humble man. Now he is led by the hand, completely dependent on somebody else's guidance, into Damascus. And for 3 days, he could not see, and he did not eat, or he didn't drink. Now these 3 days of not being able to see, complete in darkness, he could not eat, reminds us of Jonah. When Jonah was sent to the Gentiles at Nineveh, you know, to those that were enemies of Israel. It reminds also of Jesus Christ that he says for 3 days he was going to be, of course, that's symbolic 3 days, as his death. So Paul went through the same experience. This overwhelming experience for 3 days. There was a follower of Jesus in Damascus. His name was Ananias. Now, you know the name Ananias. It means God is gracious. Here is a man that was brought up. It was raised without any understanding of the essence of God's character, which is grace. He couldn't understand grace. The Pharisees couldn't understand the concept of grace. All that they taught is about the law, law, law. And here God brings a person whose name is God is gracious to meet Saul. The Lord spoke to Ananias in vision and told Ananias, Ananias answered, here I am, Lord. Saul said, who are you, Lord? Ananias says, here I am, Lord, because, see, Ananias knew who was talking to him. Paul didn't. In verse 11, the Lord said to him, get up and go. Remember that God said the same thing with Saul? Get up and go. You'll be told what to do. The Lord told Ananias, get up and go. Go where? Oh, you see, there's a man here in Damascus. He came to try to destroy the way. But God sent Ananias and said to him, get up and go to the straight street or straight way. There is no coincidence, brothers and sisters. He said, get up and go to the straight way. By the way, if you look at a map, if you go to the internet and look at a map of Damascus, the straight street is still there. The straight way is still there. It says, and then in that street, and by the way, that's the same street where their governor of the entire region lived, in a straight street. Find a house of Judas, or literally the house of Judah. And the word Judah, the name Judah, is praise to Yahweh. And ask for a man named Saul. The asked for, that's mean his name. For the seed of Tarsus, he is there now praying. So, do you know what is beautiful? Is God is just talking to Ananias. Here he sees Ananias and he talks to Ananias. And he, right there, in the same moment, God is looking to at Saul. And he is talking to Ananias and describes what he sees. And so he says, there he is. Now he's praying. The moment that the Lord calls you, his eyes stays on you all the time. The moment that you get to that experience, that conversion, the eyes of God will be always upon you. It doesn't mean that his eyes were not on you before you converted. Because the moment that you are born, the eyes of God will be always upon you. But the moment that you decide to take his side, to step towards him and accept him as your Lord and Savior, then there is this assurance, I will always be with you. Saul has seen a vision in which a man named Ananias, so this is God telling Ananias, I showed to Saul a vision in which he saw you, Ananias, coming to him and lays his hands on, and you will lay your hands on him. Then he is able to see again. So God tells Ananias exactly what Saul's, what he showed to Saul as well. But Ananias answered, Lord, many people have told me about this man and the terrible things he did to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's a murderer. He's coming here to kill us. And now you ask me to go to see him? Brothers and sisters, let's learn a lesson about this. Sometimes God speaks to us clearly, but we have some wrong convictions that is put on our minds. God knows how. And sometimes, even though God is speaking to us clearly, we try to find reasons to fear more what people can do to us than what God can do for us. Now he has come here to Damascus, verse 14. And the leading priests have given him the power to arrest anyone who worships you. And now, Lord, you ask me to go to see him. This man is not here for good. He is here for something else, for bad. He is here to destroy the church, to destroy those that worship you. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. Yes, go. I have chosen Saul for an important work. Go, I have chosen Saul for important work. He must tell about me to those who are not Jews, the Gentiles, to kings, to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias, after what the Lord told him, he went to the house of Judas, or Judah. He laid his hands on Saul and said, and this is beautiful, this is the first time this man had this contact. Now, the man that was supposed to, Saul was there to lay his hands on Ananias, but you know what I mean. Lay hands, but put a chain on him and take him to back to Jerusalem to be killed. And instead, now the whole thing is the other way. Now it is Ananias who is laying hands on Saul, but not with intent to make him a captive, but to set him free. To set him free of the darkness that he has all his life. He had a good heart, but a wrong cause. And there are a lot of people that come to church and they have a good heart, but they have some ways that they need to be changed. And so Saul here in this case, he is the humble individual. He is really Paul at this moment. Now, remember in the Bible, when a man of God is called to go to, when God talked to Samuel, said, go and see Saul and put your hands in and anoint him. Go and see David, anoint him. And so here it comes, Ananias, sent by God to basically anoint Saul for a mission. That's why when a person is baptized in the church, the pastor put his hands up. It's a sign also of anointing that person to be forever a child of God, a missionary, a witness. Everyone who converts to the way, to the Christ, to be a Christian, is anointed to be a witness. And so, here is it beautiful. When Ananias refers to Saul as brother, he says, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yahshua, sent me. He is the one you saw on the road on your way here. He sent me so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, until this moment, Paul had no clue where the Holy Spirit was. Remember, he's a Pharisee. There is no place for anybody. Jesus cannot be God. There is only one, Yahweh, nobody else. There is no such thing as Holy Spirit. But now he hears about the Holy Spirit for the first time, directly applied to him. And verse 18 says, immediately, at once, something that looked like fishy scales fell from Saul's eyes. And he was able to see again. He had a vision. And I talk about a vision. He has his sight. Then Saul got up. And guess what? He was anointed again through baptism. He was baptized. And all this, when Luke is telling us all this story, what makes me wonder, what happened to all those soldiers, all those people that came with him, even the individual that led him there in the house, because he had a place where he stayed, a family. All these people that I was expecting him to arrive there as the old Saul, now they all see what is happening to him. After he ate some food, his strength, he returned to him. Then, what should have happened to all of us, the moment that we are born again, Saul is on fire. It says Saul stayed with the followers of Jesus Christ, of Yahshua, in Damascus for a few days. In verse 20 it says, soon he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogues. In the presence of the same people that he came to arrest, now he's preaching about Yahshua, saying, Yahshua is the Son of God. All the people who heard him were amazed. They said, This is the man who was in Jerusalem trying to destroy those who trust in this name. He came here to arrest the followers of Jesus and take them back to the leading priests. But Saul grew more powerful. His proofs that Jesus is the Christ were so strong that his own people in Damascus could not argue with him. One thing that we must know about Saul, all the knowledge that he had that was twisted. Now that God has come to his life, the Holy Spirit, he started putting everything in order. And now everything started making sense. A different, before he used the same argument to try to prove that Jesus was not, but now with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures are so powerful that nobody could argue with him. And he says, after many days, they made plans to kill him. Now here is the coming of the people that are first. They saw Saul as their champion. Someone who comes here to get rid of all these people that are bringing heresies inside of our synagogues. Now Paul started preaching about Jesus. And now the same religious people, the people from his own church, now make plans to kill him. And verse 24 says, they were watching the city gates day and night. Sometimes you wonder, can you imagine if the people that are really profess to be followers of Christ would have such a dedication? Evil people, sometimes they have more dedication than the good people. One person once said, talking about the opposition, he said, the opposition is very powerful because the opposition is wrong, but they are united. He says they were watching the city gates day and night. But Saul learned about their plans. Of course, now Saul has the Holy Spirit at his side and told him, one night, some followers of Saul, I find this so amazing, because he just for a few days he started preaching and he already has some people following him. He was so powerful that people say, I want to follow this individual because he is with God. So some followers of Saul help him leave the city by lowering him in a basket through the open in the city wall. That could be the followers of Saul, could be someone that came with him and converted also. We do not know all the details. When Saul went to Jerusalem, now he is back to Jerusalem. He escaped and he's back. He tried to join the group of followers of Christ. But as Ananias there in Damascus was afraid of him, so were everybody else in Jerusalem. They were afraid of him too. They did not believe that he was really a follower. But verse 27 says, but Barnabas. And by the way, the name Barnabas means the one who encouraged, one who encourages. In Acts 4, verse 36, it says, one who encourages is the meaning of Barnabas. But Bar, it means son. Abbas means father. And then the and in between, it says, the son of the one who encourages. And Barnabas was almost like a father figure in that sense, even though he was young. He was the one who helped Saul. So he took on himself to tell the apostles, explain to them that Saul had seen the Lord on the road, and the Lord had spoken to Saul, that he told them how boldly Saul had preached the name of Yahshua in Damascus. Let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 36. New Central Version says, one of the believers was named Joseph, a Levite born in Cyprus. The apostles call him Barnabas. And so that's what it means, the son of one who encourages. I find the reason why I've given you the meaning of every name, because there is a message inside of a message as this story goes by. And it says in verse 28, and Saul stayed with the followers, going everywhere in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He would often talk and argue with the Jewish people who spoke Greek, but they were trying to kill him as well. This is the second time. Everywhere now, from now on, every place where Paul went, somebody was trying to kill him, to silence him. The same thing he was doing before, trying to silence the followers of Christ. Now they were trying, now the whole thing changed, now thereafter tried to silence him. When the followers learned about this, they took Saul to Caesarea, and from there they sent him back to Tarsus. A complete circle. He came, he was born in Tarsus, now he's back to Tarsus. The church everywhere in Judea, verse 31, Galilee and Samaria, then had a time of peace. And in a time of peace, the church became stronger. Because how they became stronger? Because respecting the Lord by the way they lived and being encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the group of believers continued to grow. And there was, for a moment, peace until destruction became back. Now, brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I'd like to say to you, on your own road to Damascus, please take a moment to reflect on grace. The beginning of Saul's journey, he met with the Lord himself, and the Lord showed him grace by telling him, why are you persecuting me? Why are you attacking those that believe like they're supposed to believe? When you do this, you are actually attacking me. When you attack anyone who believes in me, you're attacking me. And Saul realized then that he was wrong. And that was his experience, his moment, his road to Damascus moment. When he saw the light, he never left the light for the rest of his life. And when Jesus Christ comes, he will see the gracious God again. He will have that experience to see the Lord and see his face. As he says in the 1 Corinthians 13, he says, now I know only in part, but then I will know as I know now. I'm anxious to see the face of my beloved Savior that called me on my road to Damascus, that opened my eyes and told me that I was a chosen vessel. Brothers and sisters, grace is not only needed for the occasion of conversion. The moment we suddenly or slowly come to our senses and realize that we are spiritually bankrupt, we're spiritually dead or blind, that we have nothing to bring to God and everything to receive from Him, grace is also required for the long journey, for the long season of cultivate growth that must follow our birth, our rebirth in Christ. By grace, we are also sustained. Grace is needed for the road. You find grace on your road to Damascus, but you cannot leave Damascus and leave grace behind. You have to take grace wherever you go. As you go back to Jerusalem, spiritually speaking, as you go back to whatever you were born, whatever you are, you must take grace with you because grace will sustain you. Grace has as much to say about endings as it has to say about beginnings. I pray God's grace upon you And I hope that you have Ananias encounter. God is gracious. That you become as Paul, a humble one. That is, you become like Yahshua, which means the Lord saves. Yes, in this road, you can meet one Barnabas, the one who brings encouragement. In this world, we need Barnabas. In this world, we need Saul. We need Paul. We need Ananias. And above all, we need Yahshua. We need His grace. I hope your journey and the road that whatever you're taking, in your own road to Damascus, that the Lord will change you and will change you to be His and His forever. I'd like to call your attention, and I close with this. The Bible is scriptures for today that we read. The God of our fathers has chosen you, my brothers and sisters, that you should know His will and see Yahshua, the Just One, and hear the voice of His mouth. And live a life full of grace. God bless.